GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. Gee, our listeners will remember yesterday when we talked about the House Judiciary Committee saying yes, greenlighting the idea of advancing the conversation about legalizing the recreational sale of marijuana at a federal level. We mentioned that our good friend Paul McCarrier of Legalize Maine had sent us a note just that day. Said it would be a good idea to get him on the PDQ Door telephone line. Well, look at that. He's right on line three. You want to be the first to welcome him back to GHRT?
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm great, gentlemen. How are the two of you?
Well, yesterday or this week, the House Judiciary Committee passed H.R. 3884. We get down to the weeds here. It's the titled the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Impungement Act. Well, let's call that MORE. By a vote of 24 to 10. It's very comprehensive. The MORE Act aims to do a lot of things, including taking the fact that you were arrested off your records for using marijuana, and it also puts some more tax on it. So, first of all, what did you think of it?
I think it's a step in the right direction, even though there's a lot of details that have to be worked out. And this bill definitely isn't specifically crafted to address Maine's issues. It's something that needs to happen. You know, we're talking about the fact that this is simply just a plant and derivatives of a plant that has been legal, you know, for millennia before it was made illegal due to really like corporate greedy propaganda back in, I believe it was the 20s. So it's a step forward. You know, with the current state of politics, we don't have, you know, very high hopes for it, but even a symbolic victory is still a victory.
Seems like there would be a great deal more taxes coming down, and we want to talk with you about that in just a moment. But for what you might understand of the MORE Act and the expungement, does it expunge possession? Does it expunge trafficking? Aggravated trafficking? Do you know to what level would the MORE Act expunge one's record for possession or dealing with marijuana?
From my cursory read over it, you definitely have expungement of any simple possession charges. And I believe if any sort of like, you know, low-level trafficking, like, you know, if Bubba's selling JoJo, you know, an ounce, for example, that's not really trafficking, you know, in the ways that we think about it nowadays. But maybe back in 1980, it was considered a much more severe crime. It's really important that we have to look at expunging these records. I know that's actually something that we're looking at here in the state of Maine, is a way to seal these records for people who have been convicted of simple possession or, you know, even a possession of a larger amount of cannabis without intent to distribute. Because these things will follow you for the rest of your life and can be really detrimental.
Well, people broke the law at that time, correct?
That's true.
Yeah, they broke the law. The Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act.
Sidebar, Your Honor?
Yes, sir.
To what level did they break the law? That's what
I'm
wondering.
A simple question. It was the law they broke it.
But it's a civil law versus...
It's a law. Well, you pick and choose the laws you want to break. It decriminalizes marijuana at the federal level by removing the substance from the Controlled Substances Act. This is important because it applies retroactively to prior and pending convictions. That seems to be sending the court into a very interesting place.
Well, I think it's speaking to the fact about how attitudes have changed over the years. And again, George, when we're looking at it, you know, you have the attitude, well, a crime's a crime. But you have a lot of other people that say an unjust law is meant to be broken. And that's how the thinking is going. Well, we may not agree with how these future generations are thinking about things. We have to acknowledge that more likely than not, that they're going to be the ones who are going to be around making decisions long after we are gone. So we have to be able to move with the times, and we have to be able to be flexible and work with it. You know, we don't want to have an inflexible government that is essentially just going to ignore the needs and the desires of its citizens, because that leads to very bad things.
I'm checking some of the text messages as we talk with Paul McCarrier of Legalize Maine. Some are indicating that they would be on board with this if it meant to ease the crowding in our jails and prisons. Some say there's no reason to keep someone for a possession law behind bars. Not that they're being kept behind bars now, are they, Paul?
It depends on where you are. You know, this is a federal law, so we are still talking about a lot of people, a lot of families that are broken apart because of simple things like possessions in other states where it is illegal. And so, you know, we're talking about trying to make sure that not only do our tax dollars not are wasted on incarcerating people who are in there for really low-level and nonviolent crimes, but also the fact that this is an opportunity to, you know, garner tax revenue to spend on better programs or, my gosh, maybe even lower our current taxes.
Well, let's not forget that this is a federal law. If it passes, which is highly unlikely at this point, it requires federal courts to expunge prior convictions, but it tells states that they can do it on their own policy. One of the interesting parts of it authorizes the assessment of a 5% sales tax on marijuana and marijuana products, and then they create an opportunity trust fund. It sounds really like federal gobbledygook, doesn't it? It includes three grant programs: the Community Reinvestment Program, the Cannabis Opportunity Grant Program, and it opens up small business funding for those who want to get into the marijuana business. So we now call this an industry, right?
George, have you looked around? It already is an industry. I mean, we're talking about contractors, we're talking about electricians, we're talking about retail workers, we're talking about farmers. These are people who are benefiting from the fact that this is legal now. We're going to talk about the mainstay coffers. The amount of revenue that's being brought in by the legal sale of medical cannabis right now is huge. And those numbers, which I'm hoping will be revealed before the end of the year, I think are really going to show people that when you tax and regulate something like this that is already commonly available, everybody wins.
Talk about seed money being available from a bank. Paul McCarrier is with us from Legalize Maine as we talk of a U.S. House committee approving the legislation, forwarding the conversation of legalizing the recreational use of marijuana. If anything, this would make it at least easier for someone who is in the marijuana cultivation and legal sales transaction program to be able to take those dollar bills to the bank.
You know, maybe this question is for both of you, but this is more or less, you know, for George. Riddle me this. You want me to pay taxes, but you won't let me have a bank account. So how do you know how I'm being honest?
Point taken, at least on this side of the bulletproof glass.
Yeah, if you're going to legalize it, then I don't know why the banks can't handle the money. I mean, that's been our problem now.
I wonder if the banks would be required to. I wonder if some banks, if some credit unions might say, you know what, we're not interested. Or whether if Washington says, you can. I wonder if that means, Paul, you must.
I don't think it's that at all. I think it's a lot of the fact is that banks will look at, will it put them anything at their FDIC insurance at risk?
Exactly.
How does their bank shareholders and the board feel about it? But at the end of the day, I know that there's a lot of financial institutions up here that are very interested in getting into this. And when you look at it from a practical standpoint, you know, if you're a small business owner, you need access to capital. If you have a bad crop year, you need to be able to have that money to be able to get through to the next crop year. And you're not able to do that right now because you're not able to access traditional financing. Now, you can try to go get private financing, but you're talking about interest rates that are just out of this world. You're talking about, you know, stuff that's usury, almost, you know, extortive. But when you're running a business without access to traditional financing, that's what you're stuck doing sometimes.
Well, they would... Again, the word I'm getting from reading the stuff out of Washington is it's unlikely ever to get to the Senate. It probably won't get to the floor. But they are wanting to form the Community Reinvestment Grant Program. This would provide services to individuals most adversely impacted by the war on drugs. I'm trying to figure out what that means. It means, I guess, job training, legal aid, youth recreation, substance use treatment.
What's the best way to make sure that the youth of our state aren't smoking grass, let's say?
Stronger enforcement, education programs in school, telling them that they're not supposed to, slapping mom and dad upside the head and saying teach your kids not to do it.
Well, you know, all those things may be a part of it, but why don't we give these kids something to do? Why don't we make sure they're not bored? Why don't we give them activities? You know, that's the thing that I've learned from my years of being involved with youth centers, from my years of being involved with a local youth group, Game Loft in Belfast, Maine, is that when kids have things to do...
You went to the Game Loft?
They're much less likely to be exposed to drugs and alcohol, and they're much less likely to even use them if they're exposed to them.
You hung out at the Game Loft?
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Get my D20.
No, wait a second. Very select people right now listening to this program are laughing, okay? And the rest of them are making a saving throw versus great radio comedy.
But you understand my point, is that if we're actually talking about trying to effectively make sure that our youth aren't exposed to this, we need to give them something to do. We need to give them programs. You know, hunting, fishing, basketball, you know, non-electronic games, you know, anything to keep them occupied when their parents are probably out working, earning a living so they can pay their taxes, and when these kids are out of school. And so that's something which, you know, no matter when we're looking at the state of Maine, when we're looking at federally, that's something that I hope policymakers will really consider, is that that's where the excise tax funding should go.
We got to talk to him about
towards programming for our youth.
We got to talk to you about the taxes before we go. The big question we had yesterday, or one of the questions we had that were big yesterday, is that Washington's going to put a tax on top of the tax we're already charging in Maine. And isn't that just going to drive people to the black market to buy what they want?
Unfortunately, that's going to be the problem, is that here in Maine, we already have an adult use tax that doesn't represent the 10% on the excise tax that perhaps, you know, the committee envisioned. And that's a lot of the time just due to the change in, you know, normal market prices. You know, this, at the end of the day, this is a commodity. And that high level of excise tax is going to kneecap operators of all license classes, as their prices are going to be significantly higher than the current prices available widely to the public. When you have high taxes, that equals lower consumption. That means missed tax revenue forecasts. That means a budget shortfall. But thankfully, we can avoid that, which is a couple bills in the legislature right now that can look to address that. And we're hoping that the legislators will be willing to hear them next session.
Well, the MORE Act claims to correct historical injustices of a failed drug policy that disproportionately impacted the communities of color. That is in their boilerplate on their law, if it ever passes. It would require the Bureau of Labor to collect the demographics to ensure people of color and those who are economically disadvantaged are participating in the industry.
I'm sorry. Could you translate that? Paul, can you translate that to English for us?
It means that there's going to be a lot of consultants and people who, you know, work are going to probably try to scam, you know, people who've been negatively affected by the drug war to get money out of this. You know, unfortunately, that's one of those things that sounds really good, but you put too much bureaucracy in between, you know, that and someone actually starting a business. Something that maybe just be a lot easier is you just be able to offer some incentives for some of these people to be able to get better bank financing. Because in a lot of ways, it can be done better in the private sector than it can be done in the public sector. And even if you just open this financing, if you have a good business plan, if you can prove it, we can make money, a bank's going to lend you money.
I was a little fascinated by the fact that they put up 5% sales tax on marijuana and marijuana products. They're going to put that money in different places. But nothing went to the scientific community to study the long-term effects of people doing it as the use increases.
Well, George, I have a lot of experience in this long-term research on how it affects people, and though it may be a low population study, I can tell you I've never gotten sick off of it.
Someone wants to know.
That's what they said about vaping, too.
And I wonder about the oils as well. This puts the extra tax on the oils that the state, and oils are going to become even more expensive, correct?
Yeah, everything's going to be more expensive, you know, with an additional 5% sales tax. I believe there was also discussion during the committee hearing about instituting a national excise tax, similar to how we have an excise tax on alcohol. And just from what my sources in Washington tell me, is that's what the Internal Revenue Service is really looking for. They're looking for just a simple excise tax as a way to track transactions between business entities.
As we close our conversation, Lauren in Augusta sends us a text message. I still have all of my diverse D&D gaming dice, which my son now uses for his war gaming. Passed down from generation to generation. GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.